You guys okay? Good morning, everybody. This morning was a bit quiet, so I was a bit shocked. So let's get everybody into it. Good morning, everybody. It's great for us to be in the house of God and to hear the word of God. But before we jump into and dive into the word of God, let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you, God, that there is this change of rhythm in the week where we can just pause from the many things that we're doing, the many decisions we got to make, and just come to your house to just worship you, to have this moment to just pause and worship. God, we want to create this space and allow you to speak to us. Father, use my voice, the message that I've prepared, use me, oh God, so that we truly understand that the life that we live, the faith that we have, it's not something far out there that we cannot grasp or understand. And God, no matter who we are, whether we are Christian for many years, we are new, we do not know God, we do not believe in Jesus, may this message just speak to us today. Thank you, God, in Jesus' most precious name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Among the things that we don't like to talk about, I think for me, I cannot represent everybody. It's like when I was dating my wife, Esther, the things that I really don't like to talk about, it's, hey, tell me about your ex. Hey, don't lah. So romantic. Why want to ask me about my ex? You also know her. Okay, never mind. So, but those, some of these things are things that we don't like to talk about. Maybe we are afraid that we will hurt somebody, or maybe it was the fear that was ours in the first place. But high on the sensitivity list of things that we don't talk about, money has got to be right up there, especially all of us Chinese. Turn to your neighbor and try to ask your neighbor right now, say, hey, how much you earn a month? How much you earn a month? How much EPF you are contributing? Like, it's not a topic that we talk about. And sometimes at church, it's even more interesting because you hear things, of course not everybody, but you hear things like, oh, the pastor talks about it's money. Or, all the church wants is my money. It's not true because the pastor doesn't talk about money only. I talk about mission. I talk about growing in faith. I talk about many other things. And I want to talk about this today because money preoccupied a big chunk of our brain space as human being, regardless of whether you are Christian or not. It preoccupies us because we are concerned. And that's the reality. We are concerned about paying bills, our car, our house, our kids' education, the future. Economy is doing really bad. Malaysian ringgit is going down and traveling is becoming so expensive. I cannot go anywhere anymore because everything is just rising in cost. Jesus, in the Bible, there are 2,300 verses talking about money. And out of all that Jesus taught, 15% of the time, Jesus talked about money. And 11 out of the 39 parables, the story of the Bible that Jesus told was about money. So money does take a big chunk of our focus, our energy, and also our attention. But what we missed out is how money was talked about by Jesus. As we begin this, because if you know that the theme of our year is the kingdom of God, I want to talk about living in the kingdom of God. I want to talk about kingdom living. Because if money occupies such a big space in our brain, as a pastor of the church, I want to give you a healthy understanding of what money it's all about. A lot of us, when we were younger and we started out into the workforce, a lot of us would have enough money to last the first 2 weeks of the month. And then the second 2 weeks of the month, we rely on the credit card. So when our salary comes out, we pay what we owe in a credit card. And then after that, we only have enough money for the next 2 weeks of the month. And the cycle repeats itself. Now, I want us this morning to give us a healthy understanding on how to become a steward of this very important resource that God has entrusted upon us. And the first thing I want to talk about, because this is the one thing that we always hear, but maybe, just maybe, we do not have a correct understanding of that. And I want to talk about tithing. Now, tithing is sensitive. Tithing is... People ask me, Pastor, can I tithe 3% or not? I say, let's not worry about the percentage. Let's come to understand what tithing it's all about in the very first place. Are you with me? Tithing was first practiced, or we first read in the Bible because of Abraham. All right, Abraham, Genesis chapter 14. I want you to look at the screen. If otherwise, you can turn on your phone. Chapter 14, verse 17 to 24. After Abraham returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom then said to Abraham, "Give me the people, but keep the goods for yourself." But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "With raised hand I have sworn an oath to the Lord God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the strap of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abraham rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me to Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. Let them have their share." So the Bible here talks about the incident after Abraham won the battle that have saved his nephew Lot. That was the story. And then after he conquered the other kings and won the battle, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, who was the priest of God Most High, came to him and began to bless him. Abraham, it's seemingly out of nowhere in the Bible, no beginning, no origin, gave a tenth to Melchizedek. And then, because he recognized after what Melchizedek prayed for him, he said, "Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." It was after that prayer, Abraham gave a 10% of everything to Melchizedek, who was the priest of God Most High. What was the lesson here, and what did Abraham do? Why did he do it? Because he knew and he acknowledged all that he has achieved. The defeating of the kings that came to Sodom because Lot, his nephew, was there, it was God who blessed him. And then, because Lot was his nephew who was in Sodom, and the Sodom was being attacked, and it was very interesting for you to look at here, verse 22. "But Abraham said to king of Sodom," because Sodom wanted to offer him, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." That means, since we have won the battle, we have won the victory, give me the people. The rest of the goods, you can enjoy it. "Abraham said to king of Sodom, with raised hand, 'I have sworn an oath to the Lord, the God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, that I will accept nothing belonging to you.'" Because some of the loot of the war was actually belonging to King Sodom. so that you will never be able to say, I made Abraham rich. Tithing is an acknowledgement that everything that we have belongs to God. The 10% that I give to God is an acknowledgement that all that I've achieved actually came with the help from God. And so it is more so a practice for us to recognize that I am only a steward of all that God has given to me, and this part belongs to God. That's lesson one. Lesson two. We hear this a lot. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Whether it is in a church setting or in a service, in a gathering, we hear this so often that somebody will go up on stage and talk about Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. It says here, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, the Bible says. Test me in this, say the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. And so this is a passage that we always hear in church. You give your 10%, God will bless you. And it is the only passage in the Bible where Christians are allowed to test God. It is like, you know, the Chinese, they call it the ling pai. Wow, this is touring English service. You all don't know what I'm talking about. You know the thing, you know, the olden Chinese day, that if the king give you this badge, it's all access pass. You understand? Ah, yes. In English, it's called the all access pass. So we always say, do you know this is the only scripture in the Bible that allow you to test God? Give your 10% and the Lord will bless you so much that you have not room enough to receive it. But I want you to know, it is so not right to just look at Malachi and take verse 10 from chapter 3 and use that as a passage that talks about giving our 10% to God. I want you to know, Malachi, it's far from that. What was Malachi about? In the beginning of Malachi chapter 1, it actually talked about God being upset with the children of Israel because they began to offer blemished sacrifice to God. They knew that when they come to God, they should give God something that God deserves. God says, will you even give your governor gifts like this? So the children of Israel, after a while, thought that they were smarter, thought that they're more intelligent right now, that they can be smarter than God. So when they offer their sacrifice to God, maybe a goat, maybe a bull, maybe a sheep, and they thought, you know what? This bull is not going to be helpful to me. Look at it. It's lame. It's not walking properly. It cannot work the field. So I am going to give this to God. Malachi was dealing with that. And so they offered to God blemished sacrifice of animals that were blind and maimed and lame and cannot do anything, because they thought, you know what, God? At the end of the day, we're just burning these animals. Why the big deal? You know, since this is not useful to me, I'll give it to you. Malachi was dealing with that. The next chapter of Malachi was dealing with unfaithfulness to your wife. Nobody talk about that. We just talk about verse 10. It was talking about the people of God has now stopped loving the wife of their youth, that you no longer honor the covenant of marriage. That was the problem. And then it was injustice. See, Ian shared with us the work of outreach today so meaningfully, that the people of God has now mistreated the people without justice among them. And Malachi chapter 3, when it comes to this part, which is the fourth part of the things that God was trying to rebuke them, it was their inability or their unwillingness to bring their tithe and their offering to the storehouse of God. Go with me to Malachi chapter 3. In verse 6, it says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees. Malachi is talking about a returning back to God. And have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you? And then God says, in your tithes and your offering. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. My point is, Malachi, it's more than just dealing with tithes and offering. But to use the passage to just pay your tithes to God has caused us to become unhealthy Christians that try to live in the kingdom of God. And so we don't deal with greater problems like unfaithfulness in our marriage. Lesson number two. Lesson number three, and probably another passage that you and I are guilty of, including me. And I have to apologize because we take the word of God so lightly because it was so convenient. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And so it was extended. But we have not even read the entire Galatians chapter 6 and what Galatians chapter 6 was all about. Are you with me? Galatians chapter 6 was talking about the way we live our lives, the way we conduct ourselves. And then it says, if you sow into the flesh, you will reap the flesh. But if you sow in the spirit, you will reap in the spirit. But somehow, it became so conveniently talked about, oh, just sow, then you will reap. Abraham did not tithe before the war so that God will give him victory. It was not a magic potion. I give to God and then God will give me victory. You have to read the beauty of Genesis chapter 13 and chapter 14 because these were kings trying to attack Sodom. Abraham took 318 of his trained men and defeat professional soldiers. The Lord has blessed him, so he gave a tenth to God in return to acknowledge that it was God who made it possible and not putting whatever we want into an offering bucket and just believing 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold will come back to us. Abraham had to work for the victory. Are you with me? And so it is not after a while, this thing has become a genie in a church. If you rub it the right way, you will be blessed 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Let me ask you a question. Okay, don't talk about 100-fold. Let's talk about 30. If today you put into this offering bucket, you get a 30-fold return, how much will you put inside? Answer me. It's not a trick question. How much will you put inside? Everything. Even a young man knows everything. But you know, we misapply the verse. You know why? It is not in agreement with the entire scripture because it sent the signal that God is a lazy God. Don't have to do anything. Just put it inside here and a miracle will happen. But Pastor, there are people who gave and the Lord blessed them. I know, but God is sovereign. God decides when He wants to do that. But it is not for you to do it to make God do it. God is God, not your maid, not your vending machine. Are you with me this morning? And why do I want to teach this? Because I'm serious about building a healthy Christianity. I'm serious because it is so important to all of us Chinese, this money thing. Money is funny. This morning when I was speaking to our Chinese service, our parents will ask on your wedding day, "Hey, Jin Chong and Levin gave you how much ang pao?" Then you wonder why you want to know. I said, "Why?" "Oh, because next time when their kids get married, that's the amount I give." Oh, money. We even want to know how much pakam people give. They give how much? Maybe they think that's the standard. After I die, they give the same. It preoccupies us. I am not trying to tell you that this morning, stop thinking about it. It will never happen. We will think about it. But the problem with sometimes not understanding the whole scripture, it can cause us to become greedy, to just want things for ourselves. But neither should you go all the way negative, broken, poor, and, you know, like, I don't want anything. It's not like that. God did not create us in that manner. There is a place for pain and suffering in our lives. And we got to have a proper understanding. Today, I'm not talking about that. We will talk about that another time. Money is powerful. The sheer fact is that money, it's powerful. And because money is powerful, all the more, we need to learn about it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." It is not money, but the love of money that is a root of all kinds of evil. The ability to make money is not the problem here. The love of money is the problem. And poverty is not the solution. Are you guys with me? Poverty is not the solution. Go with me to one more verse in the scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day." Remember, it is the Lord your God that gives you the power to get wealth. And I think this verse is very interesting because it's chapter 8 and verse 18. And we all Chinese say, "You see, God understand us." Fat yet fat. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. This is the main crux of what I want to talk about today. If you do not know your power, you are not humble. If you do not know what you are capable of, you are not humble. You are just afraid. You cannot be humble if you do not know what you are good at. But if I know my power and I use my power to serve instead of doing it for my own selfish gain, then I learn what humility is all about. Jesus knew who He was. He was not just somebody sent by God into the world. He was the Son of the living God. Everything that was made by Him, for Him, through Him. So Jesus is that embodiment of everything. But what was Jesus' attitude? He knew exactly His capability. He knew exactly His power. He knew exactly what He could do. And He showed us a glimpse of that when He just got out of the boat and said, shh, and the storm calmed. But Jesus did not use that as a position to manipulate and use others, but instead He knew His power and He used it to serve humanity, to bring a message of hope and love to all of us, that God would become man and lived among us to bring us back to God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But you, men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And in verse 17 this morning, command those who are rich. I'm sure by now nobody will raise their hand. If I say, how many of you are rich? You'll be so scared. But command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. You see, God is not a dull, angry, messed up God. God has blessed us with many things for our enjoyment, but God also commands us, don't put your hope in all these things. Verse 18, command those who are rich, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And this is what a spiritual perspective of this resource called money, it's all about. It is not that you're afraid because you cannot do well, but if you do well, be rich too in good deeds, to be generous and be willing to share. We are designed by God to pursue. Amen. To pursue greatness in life, to do well with all the ability, the gifts, the talents that God has given to us. We are designed by God to be forward-thinking, forward-going. This morning, I am not here to tell you, you see, money is so dangerous. Don't go for it. It's not possible. Because you're Chinese. If you are, Kevin, you're fine. Because you're not. 5,000 years of history embedded into our mind. Son, money, it's everything. Daughter, find a man with money because that is everything too. Money. To be a Christian is not to stop pursuing, but to elevate the outcome of your pursuing, that it is not just for you, it is also for the benefit of others. No matter how hard it is, you know, sometimes when you give, you feel good about yourself because a piece of God is taking shape on the inside of you. Yeah, we love to own things, but nothing quite beats giving, especially giving to those who cannot repay you in return. Galatians chapter 6 is really not talking about money. There is no magic box in this place. I'm very sorry if that disappoints you. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 to verse 10, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't go weary while doing good. That means it is hard to do good. one season, I really hate this statement. Pastor, take the high road. Every time I take, man, I take toll road, can or not? Every time I also have to do the hard thing. But the Bible says, yes, it is. But don't grow weary, don't grow tired. Therefore, as we have opportunities, let us do good to all. All means everybody. Not just people you like. Not just people of the same faith. Not just people of this nation. Foreigners, refugees in this land. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do good. If you do not know Jesus, you may have a totally different mindset about money altogether. But today, there is a spiritual dimension to this. I am not asking you to not do well. I am not asking you to be a burden to the society. I'm commanding you, based on the Word of God, that while there is an opportunity, do good to others. You know why money is powerful? Money is powerful because people can go astray because of money. I'm not just talking about faith. People can leave their family when they have money. They can ignore their loved ones because of money. The love of money is powerful because it clouds our thinking. Whether there's money or not affects our judgment. Money is powerful because it can be used or it can use you. Money itself is amoral. But today, I want us to live as healthy Christians, followers of Jesus. Amen. That we, when God bless us because we have done well, remember, it is not just meant for your own self, so that you can be a blessing to other people. Still, we can trust God. Amen. I can still trust God. I can still say, God, man, it is hard. I can still trust God. But when you see the hand of God moves in your life, choose to be a blessing. Having altruism, serving the foreigners, the refugees is one expression. Our church have missions. We have also sponsored kids in Sabah. Next week, we will hear the story. We have sponsored kids to go to school because it costs 300 ringgit a month to send a kid to school. We want to do something because the Lord has blessed us. You don't have to wait until, Pastor, when I'm rich, I will do it. If you earn an income, you have a place to stay, you have food to eat, you are already very, very rich. It is not a matter of how much more I need to earn before I give. But it is a lifestyle. And this is what I want us in collective to grow into as a church, as a body of Christ. That we are a church, a people that represents Jesus. It's always thinking about others, always finding ways to be a blessing to other people. Money is powerful. Is it for you or is it for others? Today, there will be an altar call. But this altar call is going to be different. This altar call is not going to ask you to close your eyes and raise your hand and come to the front. This altar call is for you to turn to the person beside you. Yep, we have big dreams and big goals, but let's start with the simplest of steps. Turn to the person around you and afterwards, okay, not now, stay calm. Let's start from the most basic. And make sure you ask your neighbor, hey, neighbor as in the person next to you, sorry guys, you know, this church language. You ask your neighbor, then you all start calling your neighbor at home, like, no, it's this guy. Turn to them and say, what's your lunch plan today? If you don't have one, can I buy you lunch? You join us. If you're sitting next to your wife, don't tell your wife you buy her lunch. Go and talk to somebody. There's some youth here. Get to know them. I want us to be a community where the difference that we make is just not how good we preach, how good we talk. Simple thing. So now, 1, 2, 3. Turn to the person that you do not know, okay? You do not know. Maybe behind you. Say, hey, any lunch plan today? Can I buy you lunch? 1, 2, 3, go. If your neighbor didn't talk to you, the person sitting next to you never asked you out for lunch, 1, 2, 3, raise your hand. I will talk to them for you. Wow. I didn't expect you guys to be so excited. Give me one last thing, okay? Don't go anywhere. I want this to be a habit. I want this to be a culture. I don't want to be a church where you cannot wait for the service to be over. I don't want this to be a church where the moment the pastor say, let's close our eyes and bow our heads in prayer. Imagine this is my son. Go. Faster go. Traffic jam. Faster go. Are you guys with me? Don't come to church and like, faster go home. This is my daughter. Go. Otherwise they ask us to go lunch. Go. Why want to become Christian like that? Hey, you know what? Why do you even want to become a human being like that? Are you guys with me? Now ask the other person, say, hey, really want go lunch or not? 1, 2, 3, everybody. Talk.